The Holy Gospel according to John, the third chapter. Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God loved the world in this way, that God gave the Son, the only begotten one, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. When I was about 5 or 6 years of age, I felt that I was the greatest of all greatest yard-keeping helpers to my dad. I loved to help him seed grass or rake leaves, move trees, whatever the task required, my 5-year-old muscles could do the job. Now, our house growing up and backyard butted up against this wooded hillside in Minneapolis. And so we had this large retaining wall as part of it. And on this retaining wall, we had several juniper bushes that cascaded down the front side of the retaining wall. And so they, you know, of course, added some nice greenery, of course, to the wall, but they also added a very nice little place for bees and wasps to make a little nest. So every once in a while, there would be a pretty sizable wasp community in those junipers that my parents, being good parents, didn't exactly want my brother and I playing with in our backyard adventures. Sure enough, another nest appeared, and my dad was keen on spraying it, and I insisted, you know, I wanted to help him because I was the number one yard man, right? Well, this job was a job that, understandably, I was not hired for, but I was allowed to watch at a distance. So my dad sprayed the bush with the nest as it, you know, and as I looked on, and well, as you might imagine, those wasps didn't really like what he sprayed on the nest, and so they, you know, came out quite aggressively. And I feel sorry for my dad at this point, because as many of you know, my dad is a thorough planner and kind of a numbers guy. He's a computer engineer. He goes through exactly what he's going to do in his brain 1,000 times before he does it. So you can probably join me in feeling sorry for him as he was quickly running away from these angry wasps with everything going to plan so far. Except then in his turning to look at me, and he realizes that the wasps aren't chasing him, they are chasing me, who was standing a bit too close to his little work. So, as soon to be father myself right now, I can only imagine the language that went through his mind at that point, language that I probably couldn't repeat from this pulpit this morning. Anyways, my memory of this experience is a little bit fuzzy, but what I do recall is my dad running toward me at full speed, throwing me into his arms, and literally running into the house. And as soon as we, of course, got into the house, I remember this sharp pain appearing on my back and my stomach and my legs, where the wasps were, you know, singing me underneath my clothes. And so, of course, my mom and my dad immediately stripped this screaming boy down to his bare skin to get the wasp out. Luckily, as it turns out, I was not and am not allergic to bee and wasp stings, at least in this point of my life. Now, I've had this story in my mind throughout this week when wrestling with both our Old Testament and New Testament stories this morning. These scripture passages are intimately linked. You can't really understand what Jesus is talking about here without knowing the story from the book of Numbers. And since this story from Numbers is incredibly obscure and a bit bizarre, and definitely, I should add, really not taught in Sunday school, I think it's important to refresh ourselves of it just a bit. You see, you have the book of Numbers, which actually follows the story of Moses and the Israelites from Exodus. And you have to skip over Deuteronomy. That's another thing. And you see, we tend to forget where the book of Exodus actually stops, right? So the book of Exodus ends with the vision of the promised land. And the Israelites are not there yet. So there's just kind of like one little thing. Remember, the Israelites have to wander the desert for the next 40 years. So the book of Numbers picks up and tells the story of the Israelites wandering through the desert. Now, there's a reason why the book of Numbers isn't on your top five bestsellers Bible books list, because the book of Numbers, in the book of Numbers, Moses and the Israelites, shall we just say, are kind of cranky. If you want to see infighting, political tumult, and just plain complaining, check out the book of Numbers. That is the book for you. So this is where this challenging story of the Israelites complaining about food and water and God sending serpents to bite and even kill people and Moses holding up this pole with a snake on it to heal them comes from. So I'll just put it out there. You know, if I were wandering the desert, the hot desert, without a steady stream of water and food, I would probably be one of the top complainers as well, which is why it's even more disturbing, I think, in God sending snakes to bite people. What does this say about the nature of God? A God who sends snakes to bite and kill people? That's really confounding for me in a lot of ways. And I don't really have any good answers. You know, we can debate all day on where, when, how, why God did this action, as the text states. But I think if we were to go down that rabbit hole, I think we would miss the point of this story, the overall point. I don't think this story is trying to lay out a detailed theological case for God sending snakes, but instead trying to ask the question, where do you look when times get hard? Now, like I said, I don't remember a lot of the stinging wasps, but one of the things I do remember, other than my dad frantically running me into the house, was seeing my mom taking clothes off, but also helping me calm down. "You're going to be okay," she said again and again. Now, whether she believed it or not was another question, but "You're going to be okay," she said time and time again. And even as a five-year-old, I remember I could feel that love and that genuine presence, even amid the pain of the bee stings. And I think we get into a lot of trouble sometimes when we run across the word eternal life in our scripture passages. We even had some discussion about this this last week in Bible study, when we asked the question to one another in our group, what is eternal life? What is Jesus talking about here in John when he famously says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life." Probably the most famous of all Bible verses. And I think we get into trouble because we think of eternal life as kind of a timeline, right? Jesus came, and if I declare him as Lord and Savior, then I get a one-way ticket to heaven after this life. Sounds simple, right? Well, what is so important to this verse, and I will argue this again and again theologically, are three Greek words: eche, zeoin, aeonion. This translates as may have or to hold eternal life. Now, I know I am in strong company with a lot of Greek nerds here, so I'm just going to help you out here. Notice that this is not in the future tense. It does not say you will have or hold eternal life. "But for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have or to hold eternal life in the present," right here, right now. Eternal life starts right here, right now, not some place called heaven. Did eternal life then happen for these Israelites, starving in the desert and being bitten by snakes? Well, maybe it depends on where they looked. I know for me personally, I experienced eternal life in that moment of great pain with the wasps. That eternal life was given to me by seeing my mom. Even 25 years later, I am truly grateful for that. Who do you see when the time gets tough? How does eternal life start with you? One of the things that I find interesting about this story from the book of Numbers is if you look closely at what it says when God sends the snakes, right? It actually doesn't say, "In punishment for complaining, God sends the snakes." Doesn't say that at all. And you know, the Old Testament is full. It's absolutely full of people yelling and chastising and spitting and arguing with God. Just look at the book of Psalms. And God doesn't punish for that. Now, maybe God is punishing here in some way, I don't know, but all we have in this text is what it says, which says, "Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents." And I think this is important because notice that what God doesn't do at the end of this story: take away the snakes. The snakes, we presume, because this text doesn't say otherwise, are still there, possibly even still biting people. We don't know. Dr. Cameron Howard, associate professor at Luther Seminary, writes, "In this story, God does not give the people what they ask for. They want Moses to get God to take away the serpents from us," as we read in verse 7. But the serpents don't go away. nor do they stop biting. Instead, God instructs Moses on how to heal the people who are bitten. They're still bitten, but they live. Maybe this is the challenge of eternal life. Looking to Jesus doesn't mean everything is roses and rainbows, does it? There's still pain. There's still hurt. There's still suffering. There's still death. There are still bee stings that cover your body sometimes, and they hurt. But looking to Christ and entering into eternal life right here, right now, can bring us to a different place. So may you be able to see Christ's love in your eternal life, right here, right now, and in the future, even despite the pain of the bee stings. Amen.